Shalom, Chaverim, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour live on Christian Radio, 1220 AM, as well as the World Wide Web, WHK Radio, WHKWRadio.com. This is John Bartlett, your co-host, along with Sheila Crawford, minister, teacher, and ongoing student of God's Word. And we really are glad you decided to join us tonight as the clock keeps ticking towards the soon great escape of all those who intimately know Jesus Christ as Lord over their life. Please join us as we bless our Lord for his goodness. We want to lift up, Lord, to you all those personal prayer requests that keep coming in, and especially the recent ones. And we want to lift up all those who are tuned in right now. Abba, just enlighten them with your Holy Spirit and let their eyes be open to what's going on. And please, be mindful of their specific needs, and most importantly, speak to the hearts of their unsaved loved ones and open their eyes to see the cross of salvation. And we thank you for raising up us support for this program. It's a lot of miracles associated we've seen, and we bless you and thank you and give you the glory for all of them. And we're able to remain on the air and speak the truth. And that's very important and very pertinent to these last days. And we bless you, Father, in the name of Yeshua. Amen.
Amen. Shalom, Haver, to you as well, John. And thank you again for your sacrifice of time to this ministry. And may you be rewarded at the Bema Judgment for your mitzvah.
Thank you for my mitzvah. All them. That could be very soon, that Bema seat of or Bema Judgment. Couldn't it?
Yes, and by the way, mitzvot means good deeds in Hebrew, just so in case people were wondering what that was.
Yeah, that's a good thing you mentioned that. Yeah. Oh, and also, the phone lines are open. You can actually call us because we're live, and if you'd like to comment after we leave, we're live too, but on the air, we're live. The phone lines are open if you'd like to comment or you do have a question about the end times or the subject tonight, which is Mystery Babylon again. But first, we have a little Jewish humor. Because in Proverbs 17:22 it says a cheerful heart is good medicine.
That's right. And You know what? This is for all the ladies out there listening tonight, okay? All right, here's my little joke. Gabriel, the mayor of a small Israeli town, is walking past a construction site with his wife, Sarah. And one of the construction workers stops and calls out to Sarah.
What's new, Sarah?
Why, it's nice to see you again, Avi, Sarah replies as she turns to introduce her husband to the construction worker, and they speak for several minutes. Now, after the mayor and his wife continue on, he turns to Sarah and asks how she knows him. Oh, she says, we went together in high school. I even thought about marrying him. Gabriel begins to laugh. You don't realize how lucky you are, my dear. If I hadn't come along today, you would be the wife of a construction worker. Well, without any hesitation, Sarah replies, not really. If I had married him, he would be the mayor.
Oh, that was funny, and that was
I know all you ladies out there think it's funny. The guys probably
More funny to the ladies. Okay, I want to remind you the phone lines are open now. We're a live program. You can call toll-free, 888-677-WORD. And before we get started on the teaching for tonight, which is more on Mystery Babylon, do we have any pertinent news?
Yes, I do.
I hear that shofar sounding an alarm.
Thank you, John, for doing that. That's beautiful.
Thank you.
Before we talk on Israel, I do want to just give a quick comment on this new CIA director that was appointed by Barack Obama, John Brennan.
John Mohammed Brennan?
Well, there is talk that he did convert to Islam many years ago, probably close to 30, went on assignment in Saudi Arabia by our government. But anyhow, with that said, last week he took the oath. And he did not put his hand on a Bible. Rather, the original Constitution, now remember, the original Constitution didn't have any amendments or any Bill of Rights.
Oh, that says a lot right there.
Yes, it does.
That is, I know you're going to go on to something else, but I just got to say,
That's scary. Because he's going to be the head of the CIA, mm-hmm. and he's definitely a Muslim. And you can, I've seen him give a speech in Arabic.
Yes, you have.
And he's he refers to Jerusalem
as Al-Quds.
Al-Quds, which is what the Palestinians call it.
That's right.
And that's very, I think, very disrespectful.
Well, and there's been many other things. He lifts Islam up a lot, and he's helped bring in a lot of Muslim people into the government.
Yeah, and that's like it.
So, thank goodness we know the Lord.
Yeah.
But I do want to mention about Senator Rand Paul. He filibustered last week, and the reason he filibustered, well, first of all, he filibustered Brennan's confirmation, but that was just an excuse because he wanted to an answer to the drone program, I guess, that's been going on over American soil.
Mm-hmm.
And all he wanted was for our government to openly declare that they would never be used on Americans because all Americans must have a trial under due process. Well, the problem is that they would never say that that would be so. And in fact, in an earlier letter, Attorney General Eric Holder told Rand Paul, and this is a quote, "It is possible, I suppose, to imagine an extraordinary circumstance in which it would be necessary and appropriate under the Constitution and applicable laws of the United States for the President to authorize the military to use lethal force within the territory of the United States." That was in a letter, and that made Rand Paul be very mad, and which is why he filibustered before he would okay John Brennan's appointment.
Hmm.
So he filibustered for, I think it was close, I don't remember, 13 hours maybe?
He said 13 hours before. That's a long time to give a speech.
Right, and apparently Holder was at the Senate hearings and was asked again by Senator Rand Paul to answer specifically whether an American could be targeted, but he continued to skirt the issue. Finally, under duress, Holder said that they would not target civilians to be killed.
Wow. Well, he said, finally admits it, but look what Rand had to go through.
That's right. And you know, he was the only one that was willing to do it out of the whole Senate.
Yeah.
But here's even a worse thing. Two senators from his own Republican Party stood against Rand Paul and ridiculed him the next day for doing it. And I guess what I knew before, that there are progressives in the Republican Party as well. But this gave my premise even more confirmation.
Mm. Well, who were these two Republicans that came to get against their
own? I knew you were going to ask that. And actually, it was Lindsey Graham, and that's a sad thing. And none other than our John McCain.
Oh, well, that's no surprise.
I know. I know. And it is reported that Lindsey Graham and John McCain knew farewell about this filibuster coming and actually had dinner with Barack Obama just a few nights before the filibuster. So, what do you think about that?
Well, I think there's snakes everywhere.
Yes, indeed. It's no surprise, I guess.
It shouldn't be, but let's go
on
to Israel.
I think we need a new party because
we need more than one.
Yes, Democrats and Republicans, they're out.
Well, you know, in Israel, they have more than one party.
Yes, they do. That's what's happening right now.
But they also have an outside party called the United States that casts a big shadow over their politics.
Yes, it certainly does. And the advance team for the Obama visit is already taking place in Israel. They're making these final preparations, and
making
whatever
sure
that means.
Make sure there's plenty of rock music around for him to listen to, I'm sure.
I have read where the Obama G-men have been trying to disrupt the coalition plans that Bibi is trying to put together, and he's got to get it done soon. He's trying to keep it moderate for Barack Obama, but to me, what I see happening, it's more than moderate. It's actually leaning pretty heavy to the left,
mm-hmm.
and anyone who knows anything knows that Barack Obama really wants Bibi's coalition to fail. Then Obama can call the shots even more, since the liberals, which is what he would want the coalition to be all of, they kind of like him in Israel, much to my perplexity.
Yeah, and mine too.
But they want to give him an award of distinction, it's called.
Wow.
And it's interesting because I did say this, I think, 2 weeks ago, and a supporter this week sent me the definition of distinction from Webster's Dictionary.
Thank you, supporter.
And it's a distinction means a mark of difference.
Well, he's different for sure.
I just had a chuckle because I thought the same thing.
Oh.
And award actually means judgment. So they're judging him different.
That's true.
So anyway. But anyway, during this upcoming trip next week, the Knesset said, hey, you know what? We want to talk with Obama privately so that we can ask him some questions and, you know, chit-chat. I mean, we are the government. He's coming over here. Let's have a meeting, okay? Guess what he said? Obama.
He said no.
He said no.
That wasn't a hard guess.
No. Rather, B.O. will give an open speech to a crowd of Israelis, many young, and at this point allowing, in other words, unless he changes his mind, at this point no questions will be asked. You know how he can sweet-talk anybody with his charm, as he often does, and that's exactly what he's
going
to do.
I don't know if that's going to work in Israel, but because it's hard to get those people who are so used to freedom to not say anything.
I don't know, though. I think he's got a hold on him.
Well, does he have any other... Oh, by the way, if you're a listener out there is joining us tonight for the first time, Bibi is actually Benjamin Netanyahu.
Yeah.
And that's what Sheila's always called him.
I call him
you're
Bibi.
Listening to that. And sometimes she uses the Barack Obama's initials for his name. And just so you clear the air on that, so you know what we're talking about here. But anyway, does Obama have any other meetings scheduled in Israel?
Well, it's quietly being talked about that there could be a mini summit between Obama Netanyahu, King Abdullah of Jordan, and possibly even Palestinian Authority head Mahmoud Abbas.
Wow.
I almost couldn't say that.
Well, with those players there, that could this be the beginning of this peace agreement?
I think they're getting ready to do something, absolutely.
Hmm.
But remember, Obama is not the Antichrist, and it will be the Antichrist who will confirm a treaty that has already been written up. And you can read about that in Daniel 9:25. The word is confirm. That Hebrew word is gabar, number 1396. Which means to give strength to something that's already there. And, you know, I get asked all the time, is Barack Obama the Antichrist? No, I think he's the forerunner, sort of like John the Baptist before Jesus Christ. And the Antichrist is going to be well-liked by everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Obama isn't well-liked by everybody. He's got a good following. Liberals really love him. But even after the rapture, there'll still be some people that don't like him here.
Okay.
You know, so he definitely is not, and of course we've talked about that in other programs and why I think the Antichrist will still come out of the old Roman Empire because of Daniel.
Well, that's something we don't really know for sure.
What?
Oh, who's the Antichrist?
No, we don't.
Yeah.
We don't. And I don't think we're supposed to. But then again, I didn't think we'd probably know who the false prophet is, and it certainly looks like we might.
Oh, you mean with that?
With the Pope, but we'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah, we'll get to that a little bit later. Sure.
But unfortunately, the nation of Israel just feels they urgently need the help of the United States to deal with the nuclear threat from Iran.
Mm.
And it's actually being used as leverage, I think, by Obama to force Israel to make some concessions on the so-called peace plan.
Yeah.
But BO will soon, I understand, be meeting with Russia.
Which is Iran's buddy.
That's Iran's buddy. So, I don't know. He's playing all the countries or something.
I guess so.
So, but anyway, just 2 weeks ago, there was a meeting between Iran and six power elites in Kazakhstan, to include the United States. And Israel's categorical demand was for the immediate closure of the Fordo underground nuclear plant. And as you know, they've done some things to kind of stall them.
Yeah, this is the nuclear plant in Iran that's making weapons-grade nuclear material.
That's right, and it's up and running again. And so apparently Netanyahu and Obama have talked, and Obama said, yeah, we're going to get them to shut it down. But that's not what happened at all. Instead, the American proposal for Iran was to just suspend the 20% uranium enrichment. Can you believe that?
Huh. Well, that has to be a major letdown for Israel's expectations, right?
Yeah, because they keep being lied to.
And that was probably the reason why Iran was smiling and so happy after the meeting.
That's right. That's right. And after the meeting, people were saying how Iran came out smiling, and now I know why.
Yeah.
So,
I think suspend?
Well, they could do that for a day.
I think Israel should get ready for some more letdowns of expectations.
Yes, and that's what's going to push them right into the arms of God. Amen.
Yeah, amen.
Meanwhile, right now, Syrian rebels. Okay, now let's talk about Syria a little bit.
Okie dokie.
The rebels that are against Assad are filtrating parts of the Golan Heights, and that's mainly because Assad's army has moved up more towards Damascus to protect that area.
Mm-hmm.
But again, Israel just has different enemies. But Barack Obama wants Assad out of Syria, and I reported 2 weeks ago that Assad was going to sit down with the rebels, and they were going to hash out some kind of ceasefire.
Hmm. Well, yeah, I remember that.
Apparently, BL found out about it and thought, uh-oh, we can't do that. So he sent the new Secretary of State, Kerry, to give money and more supplies to the rebels. Why?
Yeah, why?
Because Barack Obama wants his Muslim Brotherhood to take over the whole area, and that's his plan.
You've been saying that for a long time.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so he don't want Assad in there, and he has given actually Israel the green light to go after Assad. In other words, Obama is using Israel to achieve his goals, knowing eventually the Muslim Brotherhood will turn on Israel. So that's a heavy thing I just got through saying, but that's my heart and that's what I feel.
Mm-hmm. And Muslim Brotherhood indeed has said that. Their leaders have said what their plans are for Israel.
That's right. But Obama can't act like he really wants Assad out of there because then Russia will get mad at him.
Mm-hmm.
So he gives Israel the green light to do it, and he can say, well, Israel did it. I didn't do it.
Huh.
Get that?
Yep. And again, this is a lose-lose situation for Israel.
That's right. But
remember, for the fact that
there hasn't really been a major war with Assad for years.
Oh, yeah.
And neither was with Mubarak in Egypt.
Oh.
Okay. But again, Israel doesn't want Syria to get in too much of a cahoots with Iran because that could be a problem. So they just might help out Obama. I don't know.
Hmm. Very, very, very interesting. A lot of intrigue in the Middle East right now with our government.
Oh, yeah.
That
it really is.
And I think he's going after this big peace prize. I think our president wants to be the one. All the presidents
they
want
all have.
To, they
yeah.
all have, yeah.
They tried. But here I have a quote from the Chief of Staff, Lieutenant General Gantz, says of Israel. He said this, "The situation in Syria has become exceptionally dangerous and unstable. Although the probability of a conventional war against the Syrian army is low," he did say that, "the terrorist organizations fighting Assad may next set their sights on us." And that's what I just got through saying.
Mm-hmm.
"The Syrian army's tremendous strategic resources may well fall into terrorist hands."
And that would be pretty significant. And thank God we understand Bible prophecy.
I know. We are so blessed.
Because it would look bleak. It would look very bleak indeed.
That's right. Well, and I've always said that I don't know what I do not knowing what's really the reason for behind this. But then I realized that I probably wouldn't care because I'd be like all the other ones. They don't know what's going on anyway.
Well, we get
I can't talk to very few people about what's happening. They don't want to hear it.
They don't want to hear it. And besides that, they're not.
They don't
know enough about the prophecies in the Bible to really be to be able to discuss the matter. I think the Bible is really where we need to be.
That's right, if you want to know anything.
Yeah, really.
But, you know, most people want to just lay on the couch and watch the silly shows.
I do, too, but...
No, you don't.
I do, too, but I don't have TV, so
that's
I can't.
That's true. Anyway, all nations eventually will be against Israel, and, of course, that includes the United States.
Yeah, that's sad.
The sad part is Israel thinks they need us, and Bibi is going along with whatever Barack Obama says, including being his war puppet at BO's timing. what I think.
That's what you think.
That's what I think.
I think you are right. Well, that concludes the news portion.
That's right, and you know, it would probably be a good time to just play that song.
Yeah, I think so, because we burned up the clock on this one.
Well, I knew that since we weren't here last week, we were going to have to say a lot. And
we've had a lot of news since last week.
Yes, we have.
a lot of news.
But it's all pertinent to the Bible in the end days. You know, I need for people to see that the newspaper is, you know, tomorrow's prophecy.
Yeah, and that's what's happening.
Fulfilled.
Well, I think we're going to hear a song from DC Talk.
Yes, we are. We haven't played that one in a long time.
Yeah, and it's about being ready for the Lord's return.
That's right. Amen.
Life was filled with guns and war. And all of us got trampled on the floor. I wish we'd all been ready. The children died, the days grew cold, a piece of bread could buy a babe of gold. I wish we'd all been ready. If there's no time to change your mind, the sun has come.
Welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour. That was a great song, DC Talk. I love that song.
You know, love all the songs that we play.
I know. But
that's why we pick them.
They took that song that came out from a really under-budgeted movie in the 70s, and the music was good. It was just under-budgeted, and they took that song and they brought it into this generation, and boy, that song is very, very meaningful right now.
Sure is right now.
Well, let's see. This is the Shofar Ministries Hour, and this is what we do.
We're back.
We teach. We teach prophecy, but we teach it from the first century Jewish customs that are the key.
Yes.
Yeah, they are. That's the key to opening up the prophecy.
It really is.
The Bible. Yeah. And if you have a question for Sheila, or would you like her to speak at your church or group, just email her, Sheila@shofarministries.net. Or just call the office, 440-834-9006. Some important reminders, your donations are still tax deductible, at least this year, and they're very vital to this prophecy ministry. So send your gift to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021, or you can use PayPal on their website. All donations automatically put you on Sheila's informative newsletter, so include your address, whether it's email or your house address.
Right, and if you do have email, that's easier for me with the newsletters, and then that way you can print it out, you can share it, you can forward it right on the Internet to anybody that you want to. But please do share the information because there's a lot of pretty gold nuggets in there, I think.
I think so, too. And be sure to check out the webpage while you're at it. There's all our newsletters and previous radio shows are archived there. And you can order teaching DVDs as well. We got Passovers coming up real quick here.
Mm-hmm.
Spring Feasts.
Yeah.
We have a DVD for that. It's called The Spring Feast. And it's very enlightening. And
shot
so,
live
yeah,
at a church.
Shot live. So it's actually fun to watch. And it's very informative. It's only, what, $15 and some shipping? And
right. I've kept them at a minimum. And if you let me know right away, I can get it to you quick.
Oh, good, good. Well, the lines are now open. The numbers for your end time questions, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-WORD. The Shofar Ministries Hours is live, getting ahead of myself here, every Tuesday at 8 p.m. That's why we're here. So why not recommend this program to a friend? Also, if you live in the Cleveland area, anywhere really.
Mentor.
How about the Mentor area? Mark your calendars because at 7 p.m. Thursday, the 21st of this month,
I'll be in Mentor.
You will be in Mentor, and you will be speaking at Lakeshore Assembly of God, which is at 8880 Lakeshore Boulevard in Mentor.
That's right, 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock. Have a question, call the office. That's 440-834-9006.
That's right.
I've called that number many times.
All right. Well, let's go. We've got a lot to cover.
Yes, we do.
And I have to admit.
It was January.
Yeah, it was January I started teaching on Babylon, and somehow it just continued on. And I didn't expect it, didn't know it, but went with the flow, went with the Holy Spirit. It was certainly a God thing, because soon after we started teaching about it, the Pope resigned.
I know. And then lightning hits the Vatican.
And I said to the Lord, Lord, you knew that. So if you have been listening, or if you haven't.
Well, if not, you can go to the archives at shofarministry.net.
That's right. You can catch up. But you, I think, when you hear the teaching, you will agree that Mystery Babylon is the Catholic Church. We examined the origin of Babylonianism, taking it way back to Nimrod. And then to the Church of Pergamos, where Satan's throne was moved to, and saw paganism flourish in Thyatira during the Dark Ages. And if it weren't for the Reformation, it could maybe even still be here today as the one world religion. Hmm. However, right before our eyes, we have seen the retraction of the Reformation. Going back into a universal conglomerate called the ecumenical movement to be headed, I believe, after my studies, by the Pope.
Hmm.
And he does want to be the spiritual head of the world, and especially the next Pope. What was once, when I was growing up in the Catholic Church, an abomination, if you even stepped into any other church. And remember, Catholicism is grace plus works, but it was the only way to heaven. And now it's changed to all religions can enter and is in the wings waiting for this new pope who could very well be the false prophet when the restrainer leaves.
And that's probably when we'll be leaving at the rapture, right?
You betcha. We are the restrainer.
We are the restrainer.
That's right. So when all the righteous are removed, all the remaining religions will join together under the Pope as its leader. Mm-hmm. And that's why Vatican II Council was so important, because it says, and I read it out of their catechism, all religions can now go to heaven, just need to believe in a creator.
So
Jesus not mentioned.
Not mentioned. They've moved him out of the way.
Yeah. So, actually, it's not even talked about hardly anymore. And most believe if the prophecy of Bishop Malachy from the 12th century is correct.
I mean, he's very well known, I'm finding out.
Mm-hmm. He really was.
I mean, right today.
He was pretty accurate, from what I understand.
Hmm. Yeah.
But according to him, the next pope will be the false prophet of Revelation 13. And let me again say, not until we are gone will his powers be manifested. We might know who he is, and he might be here, but he will not be the false prophet until the Antichrist comes on board.
I see.
So, anyway, right now, I believe he probably has to be alive, but we will never know for sure who that is. I just don't believe it. Many are guessing, and it has been kind of fun to do it over the years. But Scripture tells us in 2 Thessalonians 2, can't talk tonight, 7 and 8, that the Antichrist won't have those miraculous powers till the restrainer is removed. And before I think I have you read that, I think we have a caller, so I'm going to let the caller speak, and then we will continue on with 2 Thessalonians 2, 7 and 8, okay?
Okay.
All right, we have Kevin in Eastlake. You're on the air, Kevin. What is your question?
Well, my question is more of a comment.
Okay.
You think the Catholic Church is Mystery Babylon, but it's kind of funny because you actually believe the Catholic Church because you believe her testament, the New Testament. And the church that Jesus started cannot teach wrong in matters of faith and morals because then Jesus would be a liar. And so you have everything backwards, my dear.
Well, I don't quite understand what you're saying. The New Testament, are you saying, is just for Catholics?
When the Catholic Church says that there is no salvation outside the church, it's still true.
Well,
you believe the Catholic Church's testament. You just don't know that it's the Catholic Church's New Testament.
I don't believe the Catholic Church's testament. I don't believe that at all.
What church is it? Jesus started a church. It makes perfectly logical sense that if Jesus started a church, it would still be in existence because it's an eternal covenant.
Well, what was the Reformation all about?
Those were people that were wrong about stuff.
Well, how do you know they were wrong?
Because I know the church is true.
Why?
Because I know. Because I believed it, and it is. Jesus is quite capable of approving himself.
Oh,
you've never entered into the mystery of the Catholic Church. You hear stuff.
Yes, I was raised Catholic, Kevin.
Well, you don't know what you didn't enter into it. You thought you knew everything when you were 9, when you left.
When I was what?
9.
Whenever you
I was
left,
35.
You thought you knew everything. There's no nothing
you
new
mean
under
like,
the sun.
Like you think you know everything?
No, I believe the Catholic Church, and therefore I know the truth.
Right. Well, here's the deal. In the Vatican II, and I have the catechism, it says that all faiths can go to heaven. Now, that is not how I was raised. They have changed it. So whatever was before is not anymore. I can tell you that for sure.
Well, it really hasn't changed like you think it changed.
It's paragraph 841 in your Catholic catechism. Go get the book.
It hasn't changed like you think it has. Jesus
it's written
still...
there. It's written there. Kevin, honestly.
Somebody can go to heaven that is trying to seek God's will. Jesus is still the one saving them. They just don't know it yet. That's all they're saying. They're not saying that you're necessarily going to heaven.
Well, I understand your enthusiasm, but I have to tell you, Kevin, with all my heart, I tried for the longest time to remain in my Catholic faith. But as I studied the Bible and continued on with it, I realized that they were in error. And now even more so, and that's what I'm really focusing on right now. I really highly, highly suggest that you go and get yourself the Vatican II New Catholic Catechism at all bookstores and you start reading it, but particularly go to paragraph 841 and you will see how it says now that all people can go to heaven without Jesus Christ. And I've been talking over the last few weeks now how they are embracing false religions. The Pope was kissing the Quran. I mean, they had a meeting with shamans and all this stuff. I mean, honestly, Kevin, please, now is your opportunity to look for the truth and find out, because he wants you to come out. And it's not an accident that you've been listening to this show, and I think you've listened to it before. So please do yourself a favor and examine the evidence and then get out of her before it's too late.
Yeah, but thanks, Kevin, for calling. That was that's good to hear from someone who's in the Catholic
Yes, faith. And Kevin, I'm going to pray for you. Definitely.
Yeah.
Amen. All right, John, I need for you to read 2 Thessalonians 2, 7, and 8. And
okay. For 2 Thessalonians, okay. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. I'm going to, lawlessness can be Biblelessness.
Yes, it can.
That means not knowing your Bible.
That's right. Why?
Why?
Tell me why. Because in the Old Testament, the law was the Torah, and that's the Bible, the first five books.
Yeah, the first five books.
So, you know, and this is so important because for so long I thought lawlessness meant he was out robbing banks or something.
No.
But that's not the case at all. It just means they're not in their Bible.
Exactly. In the the New Covenant, that's what lawlessness means, or iniquity, I think it's in the King James. But it means they're not in the Bibles. They're not reading.
That's right.
Okay, let me continue. Only he who now restrains will do so until he, meaning us, is taken out of the way.
Right, because we are the restrainer. We have the Holy Spirit living inside,
Of us, yeah. And then.
And that's important. And then.
And then the lawless one will be revealed. That is,
after
the restrainer is taken away. And then, we have those two little words there, the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming.
And you can read about that in Revelation 19.
And this is beginning to sound like a pre-trib rapture show.
Which sometimes it does kind of like get into that, doesn't it?
And it does.
But anyway, 1 John 4 says, the spirit of Antichrist has been around forever,
mm-hmm.
and Satan has been doing his lying signs and wonders for a long time.
Yeah.
Give
an example.
The apparitions of Mary at Lourdes, and especially Fatima. That was purely demonic. I'm sorry, people are going to be mad at me again, but it was. His powers will be, that means the Antichrist's powers, will be greatly increased when the real light, that, of course, is us, is gone. So, in other words, Satan has been working for a long time, okay? The spirit of Antichrist has been here, which is Satan, and he has even shown miracles and apparitions coming out of the sky of Mary, which isn't Mary at all, okay?
Yeah, and Sheila, I find this very interesting. Can you explain that connection between Mary and the Muslims?
Yes, I can. The appearance of Mary at Fatima is why Islam highly regards her, because Muhammad's daughter was named Fatima. And actually the town was called Fatima as well, and that was because there was another daughter named Fatima of a Muslim chief. So,
this is at a time when,
well, there was many Muslims that used to live in Portugal, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't think they were still there when this happened. It was already named Fatima.
Okay.
But the appearance of Mary in Fatima clinched it for the Muslims. It really did. And they venerate her.
Mm-hmm.
They really do. They believe that she was a virgin that had the prophet Jesus, but that God created Jesus, put him in Mary's womb. He was not divine. And he did not die on the cross. They do not believe that either. But they highly esteem Mary.
Very interesting.
But I have a question for you. Do you remember Bishop Sheen, John?
Yes, I do. I was a teenager. I saw him on TV. I know he had a show. I didn't watch his show, but I did see him on TV.
Okay, well, I do too, of course. but he was on TV in, well, I won't even say when. Well, I will say in the 50s, early 60s. And then he did kind of guest appearances in that. But he said this, and you can get this off the internet if you want to, but he said that Mary appeared at Fatima so to please the Muslims. Now, again, remember, this is demonic. And he said that if you want to convert a Muslim, you got to bring him to Mary first, and then she can point them to her son.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, this is all documented. Mm-hmm. I'm not telling you. I didn't make any of this up. This is all information that you can find out as well.
Very good. Sheila, now, where is that scripture in the Tanakh about the light being removed.
And what is the Tanakh?
What is the Tanakh? That's the Torah. Okay.
Yes.
And you take the first letter of that, and then the Nevi'im. Those are the prophets. And you take the N from that. And then you have the writings, which are the Ketuvim. And that said, that's an acronym, and you pronounce it Tanakh, but Christians call it and are familiar with it as the Old Testament.
Right.
So, I'll ask the question again.
I should say First Testament.
First Testament, yeah. Where is the scripture in the First Testament about the light being removed?
The light being removed. Well, the first thing that comes to my mind is Amos 5:20, and if you look in that paper over there, I think it's written out over there. Read that one.
Amos 5:20. The light must leave. Let's see. I don't have it.
Okay, I'll read it.
You read it.
Is not the day of the Lord darkness and not light? Is it not very dark with no brightness in it?
That says the light has to leave.
That's right.
That's so very clear.
That is really amazing.
How about it?
The day of the Lord begins in darkness and not light.
That's very clear. You have another.
And in fact, it's very dark with no brightness in it. Why? Because when the rapture happens, all the light will be gone. That is one of the reasons why we have to leave. So it will be absolutely dark, even if it's just a short time before the 144,000 get saved, because that's what's going to give Satan even more power and the Antichrist as well.
Well, he probably knows that little space of time is coming, and he's got all his plans for what he's going to do when that little space of time arrives. And
he knows
that
a lot
time,
more than we've ever given him credit
yeah,
for
I think
as well.
So, sure. How about some of those other, what would we call it now?
Old Testament.
Old Testament scriptures. Do you have any more about
that? Yes, actually, I have quite a few on our webpage, by the way, but I particularly like Isaiah. Do you know that one which I quote the words, or he quotes the words indignation in the Bible? All right. First of all, let's clarify what indignation really means.
Yeah, that's good. It means that last judgment, I think, is in Revelation.
Right. The indignation is a idiom or an expression for the 7-year Jacob's trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's sometimes called his wrath.
Yeah.
Okay. But with that in mind, could you read, well, I want you to read two scriptures, but the first one is from Isaiah 66, verse 14.
Okay. The hand of the Lord shall be known to his servants, and his indignation to his enemies.
Right. We're not his enemies.
Shouldn't be.
We're not going to be here for that.
Hmm.
Read another scripture. This is a good one. Chapter 26 again. No. Yes, chapter 26, verses 19 through 21. And this is speaking of the resurrection.
Your dead shall live, together with my dead body they shall arise, awake and sing, you who dwell in the dust, for your dew is like the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead.
That's right, that's definitely a resurrection scripture. And remember, the resurrection and the rapture are the same event. What's he say next, John?
Well, it's something that proves that. It says, come, my people, enter your chambers.
And the Hebrew word is hadar. That's a wedding chamber.
That's right. And shut the doors behind you.
Typical for a wedding.
And to hide yourself, as it were, for a little moment.
And how long might that be, John?
I think it might be close to 7 years. What do you think?
Mm-hmm. What's the Bible say?
Well, it says, until the indignation is past.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens, John?
Well, verse 21. For behold, the Lord comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity.
That's right. And to punish actually means to judge, number 6485, and it's for their iniquity of unbelief.
And there, because that is a First Testament word, iniquity there would mean avon, and that's the Hebrew word. I can't give you the number for it, but it means willful sin.
Willful, sure.
Yeah. It's,
unbelief.
No mistake. Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. A real quick one is Nahum 1, verses 2, the second part. It says, he reserves wrath for his enemies. Didn't we already see that?
Mm-hmm.
See it again.
Yeah.
And one more, John, in Micah 7, 2.
Okay. The faithful man has perished from the earth, and there is no one upright among men.
Say that one more time slower.
And there is No one upright among men.
Has that ever happened?
Not that I know.
No.
It's gotten down pretty...
Never.
No one upright.
Yeah, this is no one. It means zero zip.
So the faithful, those of faith have perished from the earth, and there is not one among men.
The reason I'm pointing that out is because a lot of times people want to spiritualize that and say, oh, well, faithful men, and they perish from the earth because they die, and no one understands it, really leaving evil. But here, it's really specific. There is no one left that's
mm-hmm.
upright.
That's
now,
right.
That's a whole different ballgame.
And that's that moment of darkness we were just talking about. It goes on to describe these that are left. They all lie in wait for blood. Every man hunts his brother with a net.
Yeah, it's going to be awful.
Yeah, and listen, we've said this before on the show. Don't take our word for it. You look up these scriptures, and you study them for yourself.
That's right. And there's many more on our webpage.
We are fallible. We are human beings, and really...
Really?
Yeah, we are. And talk about every man hunts his
brother. I'm no pope. I have fallibility.
That just is a haunting scripture to me because I've just witnessed a shootout in a little town called Middlefield.
A little town.
And saw the results of that lying in the street. And
yeah.
It just makes
first
us...
First time in Middlefield.
Yeah, they all lie in wait for blood. And it just this guy got out of his car shooting, apparently, for being stopped at a traffic stop. So,
yeah.
And it's getting worse.
And it's all over the place. It's
getting
really
worse.
Awful.
It's getting worse.
But the Bible says evil will get worse.
It does.
Okay. Honestly, John, as you know, I did not think that we'd still be talking about this for so long, as I said before. But I keep learning more and more of, I'm going to call it evil, within the whole Catholic establishment. Kevin, please don't get too mad at me, but it's really the truth.
Yeah, and I
mean, and there's volumes written on it, volumes, if you just do your homework.
And it seems to me that we're being allowed to see this. This evil, so that we can warn others, to help save them before that trumpet's going to sound very soon.
That's right, and he says in his word, encourage people so much more as you see the day approaching. In other words, he's going to make sure that we see it.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's so that we get stirred up to tell others about how important it is to get right.
Mm-hmm.
So you look at the words right out of... I was just going to say, you talk about the things that I say and the trumpet sounding and all that. But the new pope should be named this week, maybe even tomorrow. And again, whoever is chosen will be called Peter the Roman, whether he takes that name now or he could take it later after we're gone. And actually, it would seem odd to me that he would take it right now. Since they are extremely aware of the prophecy that the next pope is the last pope, and with the accuracy of Bishop Malachy, well, I don't know. Well, I guess we'll just probably talk about it next Tuesday. I'm pretty sure we will.
Unless one of us can be a fly on the wall in the Vatican somewhere.
Yeah, right.
But in your opinion, you're saying then that this will be the last pope that we, the true believers, will actually get to see. This one that they're going to choose, right?
Yeah, and it's only because it fits the end-time prophecy puzzle. Okay, it's not that I'm just taking this and going with it. It again, prophecy is a big puzzle. All these little pieces have to fit. And I absolutely believe this next pope will continue in the same vein that Pope John Paul II began with his ecumenical movement and the new philosophy of all religions can go to heaven.
Right there. That's if you want a short description of Mystery Babylon. There you have it. The one word, ecumenicalism, and about seven words. All religions can now go to heaven.
Right, which okay. Pope Benedict has continued. Vatican II is a different gospel and therefore is a cult. And really, saints, this is it. Now is the time.
Well, this better be it. Because if it's not, this is going to be a cooking show next year, I'll tell you that. This is really all the information anyone would need to plead with your friends and your Catholic friends. Maybe it's your family and your parents or whatever. To leave. Get into the Bible. Check out what we're saying. Check out these scriptures for yourself.
Yes. Right. Go to my webpage. Get my last newsletters. I've got pictures on there. I've got the paragraph 841 out of the Catholic Catechism. Do your homework and just don't sit back and think.
Right. Yeah, we're not just sitting out here telling you this stuff just to sound like we know it all, because definitely we don't. But you can buy a catechism yourself. I think you did, right?
I did.
Oh, okay. What are you telling me?
I think we're almost out of time.
Oh, my goodness.
And we'll continue this discussion next week as well as see you to talk about the new Pope and all the other things that I've been learning.
Okay, good. Well, I'm looking forward to that.
Thank you for joining in and tuning in tonight. I appreciate that.
Yes, and if you have not made Jesus Lord over your life, now would be a great time to do it. Maybe you've heard a lot about him. You have a lot of Bible knowledge, but you don't really have him inside your heart. You find it very hard to stop sinning, especially, you know, you have sins that you can't stop. Well, if you are in that position, just get on your knees wherever you are right now and ask the Lord to forgive you. Recommit your life or commit your life to Yeshua. He's your Savior. He's the Savior of the whole world. Remember, it's always your choice to choose where you want to spend eternity, and God doesn't send anyone to hell. You decide that for yourself.
Boy, that's so important to understand.
Yeah, he's left that decision to us, and he is there waiting to hear from you, and pray that the Lord Jesus Christ will reveal himself to you, and he will do that in his word and in prayer sometimes, and it's happened many, many ways. But your soul has to go somewhere, folks, and there's only two places, and you don't want the bad place. You don't want the hot place. So you decide.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then fulfill the Great Commission. Do what Jesus told us to do. Go and make disciples. Tell one person a day that Jesus loves them and wants them as one of his sheep, for he is the Great Shepherd.
He sure is. And now we'll leave you with the Aaronic blessing. Yevrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'ichunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yosem lecha shalom.
The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Join us again.
Join us again next Tuesday, 8 p.m. with a friend this time. Till then, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her, Jerusalem, shall prosper. Not maybe.
Psalm 122, verse 6.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the left-hand side of the page, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@shofarministries.net. That's Sheila@shofarministries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.